music of Stephen Sondheim, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall here in Studio A with Midday's theater critic Jay Wynn Russick. Good to see you, Judy.
Good to be here, Tom.
So the Shakespeare Theater Company over in Washington has a production of one of Shakespeare's most famous plays, but the tradition holds that you can't utter the name of the play. People refer to it as the Scottish play.
Yes.
So what's our policy now? Can we say what the name of the play is? Because it has a name. It's
well,
just
I'm
that
pretty,
people don't want to talk about it.
And I'm pretty superstitious. I've written articles about this. But here's what I've decided. We can say it during this segment when we're actually talking about it. And I'm going to say it right now. Macbeth.
Okay.
After this, you're on your own.
Let the record show. It was Judy who said it, not me. All right. So this particular production of Macbeth is a big deal for a lot of reasons. What do you think makes it such a big deal in your estimation?
Well, there are two things in particular. One is that it stars Ralph Fiennes. New York theater audiences have seen him play title Shakespeare roles in Coriolanus and in Richard II, most notably in Hamlet, which won him a Tony Award. But all of those were more than 20 years ago. This Macbeth is also a big deal because of where and how it's being staged. The production is directed by Simon Godwin. He's the artistic director of the Shakespeare Theater. But it's co-produced by two companies in the United Kingdom. And it has already been performed in Edinburgh, Liverpool, and London. It's also been filmed. Each stage production has been staged in an unconventional venue. And in Washington, it's being performed in modern dress in a 40,000-square-foot former sound stage. To get to your seat, you walk through an immersive environment that looks like a modern-day war zone, complete with a burnt-out car. And this prepares you for the next room where there are soldiers in military fatigues wandering on the stage. There's no specific war referenced, but you can't help thinking of the war zones that are in the news every day. This is the 10th production of Macbeth that I've seen. I think it's 10. I sort of lost count. Both Fiennes' portrayal and the way this production is staged hit you in the gut, and they stay with you. It's raw. It's visceral.
So Ralph Fiennes, big-time Hollywood guy, and obviously a big-time Shakespearean. What's the verdict? How does he interpret Macbeth? It ain't like nobody else has done it before him.
That's right. Ralph Fiennes is 61 years old, which seems a little older than the typical Macbeth. In the 11th century, the actual Scottish king was probably around 35 when he was crowned, but let's face it, no one remembers that.
True.
Coming home from the war, Ralph Fiennes' Macbeth looks weary. His posture is almost hunched. And initially, he's pretty amused by the three weird sisters predicting his rise in power, eventually to the throne. He's flattered, but he's not at all the killer that he eventually becomes. In contrast, by the time he orders the death of his friend, Banquo, any shred of misgivings or conscience has completely disappeared. One of the most interesting things about Ralph Fiennes' portrayal is that by the final battle, he doesn't seem so old. War and bloodshed seem to have invigorated him. He gives a carefully constructed portrayal of the origin and the nurturing of evil. I brought a clip of one of Macbeth's most famous speeches. He's haunted by a hallucination that is so real to him, you can almost see it yourself. And even in this short clip, I think you can hear some of the layers in Fiennes' portrayal. Let's listen.
Is this a dagger which I see before me? The handle toward my hand? Come, let me clutch thee.
Ah, very dramatic. That's Ralph Fiennes, big-time star, and he is starring in the Shakespeare Theater Company's Macbeth over in Washington, D.C. So the Macbeths are, you know, one of literature's power couples. You know, I guess it's King Macbeth and Lady Macbeth. How about Lady Macbeth? How is she portrayed in this show?
And, of course, she becomes Queen Macbeth, which is her great aim. She's played by Indira Varma. Fans of Game of Thrones will recognize that name. In some ways, she is one of the more subtle Lady Macbeths that I've seen. When her Lady Macbeth calls on the spirits to unsex her and fill her with cruelty, her determination felt a little muted. Initially, after her husband kills the king, Varma plays Lady Macbeth as a woman very much still in control, warning him not to think too much, don't think too deeply about what he's done, that thought will make them mad. And of course, that's exactly what happens to her. Her ambition turns a good man into a killing machine and turns her into a mad woman. Her mad woman is also kind of understated, almost a little ghostly. Generally, I didn't find her performance as fierce as Ralph Fiennes, but I have a clip of her at her most intense. You'll hear her egging her husband on. Let's listen.
Wouldst thou have that which thou esteem'st the ornament of life, and live a coward in thine own esteem, letting I dare not wait upon I would, like the poor cat in the adage?
Prithee, peace. I dare do all that may become a man. Who dares do more is none.
Oh, what beast was then that made you break this enterprise to me? When you durst do it, then you were a man. And to be more than what you were, you would be so much more than man.
Not quite Homer and, what's her name, Simpson. Those two. Marge, that's right. Homer and Marge. I love Marge. That's Indira Varma and Ralph Fiennes in the Shakespeare Theatre Company's Macbeth. Very intense scene. So, Judy, say more about what distinguishes, the physical production. You talked about how this in this gigantic former sound stage, 40,000 square feet. It's a real big room. Any changes to the text of the play? A lot of people are doing that these days. It's all the rage.
Yes. This is one of Shakespeare's shorter plays, but the script has been adapted by Emily Burns, and she does some tightening, and she does make some cuts. The most obvious is eliminating the drunken porter at Macbeth's castle. He's a minor character, but it adds a rare bit of humor to this play. On the other hand, we see much more of the three weird sisters, the witches. They're dressed like refugees. They make their entrance crawling up on the stage, and they hang around a lot. They watch their predictions come true. The role of Seton, Macbeth's servant, also seems to have been expanded. He's played here by Jonathan Case, who comes across as young and hip and eventually terrified. We also see more of the murderers Macbeth hires to kill his friend, Noble Banquo. The murderers actually become Macbeth's close associates. Combined with the fact that Seton's name is being pronounced more like Satan, which is an accepted pronunciation, Macbeth's familiarity with the murderers is just one more indication of his descent into almost total darkness. In terms of the physical production, as I've said, stylistically, this is a modern-day Macbeth. The castle is concrete, it's cold, it's gray. He lives in a forbidding building that's brutalist architecture. The sound design is also very jolting, very appropriately. You hear helicopters, you hear planes overhead. There are explosions accompanied by blackouts. But the best effect, I felt, comes when Birnam Wood comes to Dunsinane, as the witches predict. The soldiers come down the theater aisles. They're shielding themselves behind huge green tree branches. And the forest marches right by us to this violent martial music. And when Macbeth Seton takes up a branch himself, joining the enemy, it's one more nail in Macbeth's coffin.
I love that description of the character as young, hip, and terrified. Take that, Brooklyn. All right, so what do you think, Judy? Is this the definitive Macbeth with Ralph Fiennes himself?
Well, I don't think there is a definitive production of any of Shakespeare's plays. I mean, that's one of the things that makes them great. They don't just stand up to multiple interpretations. They remain timely hundreds of years later. This is definitely an unforgettable Macbeth, and it reinforces the vision and the talent of the Shakespeare Theater's artistic director, Simon Godwin. I should add that tickets are quite scarce. You can call the box office for same-day returns. There's also a $20 ticket lottery available through the Today Ticks app. Plus, the film stage play will be screened in select movie theaters May 2nd and 5th, and at the Shakespeare Theater's Harmon Hall, May 17th through the 19th. So even if you can't see this Macbeth live, you'll still have a chance to catch something wicked on the screen.
Oh, something wicked indeed. Okay, the Shakespeare Theater Company's Macbeth is at the warehouse or whatever you call it. It's on W Street Northeast in Washington, and it's there until May 5th. But as you mentioned, there are other ways of catching it. So that sounds like a lot of fun. All right. Thanks so much, Judy. And next week, we're going to go to the Fells Point Corner Theater and talk about a production of Miss Holmes. What's that about?
This is a gender-bending take on Sherlock Holmes. It's written by Christopher M. Walsh.
All right, so Miss Holmes instead of Mr. Holmes.
Yes.
Very good. J. Wynn Russick is our theater critic and the author of Please Write, A Novel in Letters. Thanks, Judy. Have a good weekend.
You too, Tom.
And that's it for us today. Coming up Monday, our series of conversations with the candidates will conclude with the first of two debates before early voting begins next Thursday. On Monday, the three candidates in the Democratic primary for Baltimore City Council president will join me here in Studio A. I'll speak with Nick Mosby, Zeke Cohen, and Shannon Sneed. And then on Tuesday during midday, a live broadcast of a debate for the top four candidates in the Democratic primary for mayor of Baltimore. We're collaborating with the Schaefer Center for Public Policy at the University of Baltimore, WJZ Television, and our news partner, the Baltimore Banner. On that event, our coverage begins at noon on Tuesday right here on WYPR. Midday's director and engineer is Shania Mapson. Luke Spicknell is our spiritual advisor and WYPR operations manager. Taria Rogers and Sam Burmistaws produce the program with help from Mallory Pinkard-Pierre and Izzy Bavis. Austin Coughlin from Clean Cuts wrote and recorded the midday theme music. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for listening, and thanks again to everybody who was kind enough to step up during our spring membership campaign. We are grateful. Thank you very much. Have a great weekend.
This is Baltimore's NPR News Station, 88.1 WYPR.